The reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
We think about the things of the world and the books that are in the world. The Library of Congress, of all the books that have ever been made and ever been printed, there's all kinds of books. There's educational books. There's informational books. There are books that would be entertaining, and on and on and on. But there's one book above them all, the Bible, the Holy Bible. That is the Word of God. All the works of men will perish. All the things that men have ever laid their hand to do, their imagination to do, of all the constructive things, of all the buildings, of everything, the Bible says one day it'll all be burned up. It'll cease to be. But the Bible will remain. It is the very Word of God. We're going to learn some things about it this morning, or at least rehearse in our minds some things that we need to keep in memory over and over again. Number one, we need to read and study the Bible. I can't do that for you. You can't do that for me. It would be nice. I would love to benefit from others reading and studying the Bible. What a precious jewel that would be for me if I were able to get some credit or some understanding or remembrance of those things that others have read and studied. But it doesn't work that way. I must read and I must study for myself. The Bible says that we have to hear the Word of God. And the way we hear it is by reading it and studying it and hear it taught. And we can benefit from the study of others, of those who teach us, whether it be in a public format such as we're doing this very moment, or in private conversation or in Bible classes, any number of ways we can benefit from others reading and studying, but still that does not replace my obligation to do that. You remember how Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 44, And they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the teaching, that is of that which will be of great benefit. Those, when we hear the word, what does that word do? It helps us to be pricked in our heart and that we would turn to God, because I can't handle life myself. A lot of men think they can. A lot of people go on their way thinking, I can handle it, I know what to do, whatever. But it's not going to work that way. Regardless of what man's done, we all come short of the glory of God. We must depend and rely upon God. And the only way we do that is by knowing what is in this great book. When we think about what Paul writes to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study to show thyself. I don't study to show you approved. You don't study to show me approved or anyone else. I have to study for me and me alone. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth to rightly divide the word of truth. We are to rightly divide. We are to look at the Bible, understand, and know those things that God has intended for me. Not only should we have the knowledge of the Word of God, that we have to say, I know the book, but then there must come that point of application. One thing to know, but it's entirely a different thing to say, well, I'm following, I'm doing those things that I've learned in the Scriptures. So number one, what do we think about the Bible? We need to read it and study it, because that is the book from which we will one day be judged. If I fail the test of the judgment, then I have lost my soul eternally in a devil's hell. And it'll be on that occasion the Lord said, "Will depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." We have a lifetime. We don't always know exactly the number of years of our lifetime, but at least we're here today and we've enjoyed living up to this point regardless of how old we are. But we have a lifetime that God is gracious enough to us to give us the opportunity to learn, to study, and to know His will. And that's the only way we learn that is in the Bible. There have been a lot of good books written by men, may have had some profit, at least temporarily, but not a one of them is going to be profitable in eternity. They will all perish with the using. They'll all one day be burned up. But the eternal book, the Word of God, will last forever and ever. So we've got a whole lifetime, remember how long that is. It's my job to commit it to memory, more importantly, to commit the principles and the words and the commands into action. So that leads to number two. Number one, read and study the Bible. Number two, believe it. We've got to believe what is there. Now, there's two types of belief. There is a belief that is nothing more than a mental concept of it. Well, we believe the Bible is the Word of God. But there's a belief that is regarded as action, faith in action. We believe, we trust, we rely upon the Bible more than simply a book of facts, but a book that is to be my life. We've got to be able to say in regard to the Scriptures, the only way we have a connection with God is in and by and through the Bible. Now, God is in heaven. The Lord is in heaven. The Spirit is in heaven. We're upon this earth. We believe those things, but how does God communicate to people today? In the Bible. There is no communication outside of that. There's no nudges. There's no premonitions. There's no dreams. There's no imaginations. On and on and on. A lot of men think those things are genuine and real. But if they tell us something different than what the Bible tells us, then we know that is wrong and the Bible is right. If they tell us more than the Bible tells us, they tell us too much. If they tell us less than the Bible tells us, they tell us too little. And if they tell us the same thing the Bible tells us, we don't need it anyway because we have the Bible. The Bible is the complete revelation from God. It is real, it is genuine, and it is infallible. Well, we think about the Scriptures in that respect. There are some words that are sometimes commonly used to refer to the Bible, and some words perhaps that is not always maybe commonly used, but the Bible is infallible. The word infallible, that means it is without error. Sometimes the word inerrant is used in that connection. That simply means it is without error. There are no errors in the Bible. It is amazing then how some have grown above their learning, think they are of the elite of the world, and they say, well, we don't really know if all parts of the Bible are inspired. Some would tell us, well, we're not really sure about that. We don't really know. Well, if we don't know that everything in the Bible is inspired of God, then who is going to decide what part is inspired and what part's not? We can't rely upon men to tell us that, well, I believe this passage is right from God, but this passage is suspect. The Bible is right. The fact the Bible is infallible, that it's inerrant, means that it is consistent. Another word used in that respect is the word plenary. All parts of the Bible are inspired alike. We can trust the Bible. If we cast doubt upon anything in the Bible, any book, any chapter, any verse, then how do we know what anything is in the Bible? The Bible is right. The Bible is God's Word. It is infallible. It is inerrant. It does not teach error. Then there's the word verbal. Sometimes that's used. The verbal inspired word. And what that means is that every word of the Bible is inspired. God did not use what some have identified as thought inspiration. Thought inspiration says this. Here's the Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul, or John, or some other Bible writer. Well, God supplied them the thought. He just kind of could have put a thought in their mind. And they then took in their own words and expressed the idea of the thought. That's not the way the Bible reads. God not only gave them the thought, He gave them the words to write. He used from their experience, their own vocabulary, the words. God chose the words that they used. And those are the very words of God. Matter of fact, the Bible goes on to say that He not only chose the words, He chose whether the word was singular or the word was plural. One letter. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16, there's a play in the Scriptures upon the plurality of a word. The word is seed, S-E-E-D. And He says there, and He saith not into seeds, with an S, as of many, but as of one, and thy seed which is Christ. When the Lord talked about it in Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, He even pointed this out. Not one jot nor one tittle of the law shall fail nor pass away till all be fulfilled. The jot and the tittle would be somewhat equivalent to what we think of as dotting the I and crossing the T. The Bible is the inspired Word of God. Every bit of it, every part from start to finish is the Scripture, the will of God. God has seen to it in His grand scheme of things and the providence of God that we can say without a doubt, I hold in my hand the very Word of God. It's not suspect. This is it. When I stand before the Lord one day, how will I be judged? It'll be by the things recorded in this book. I'll not be required of anything that is not here. Remember what Jesus said in John 12, verse 48. The word that I've spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. We want to know what God's questions are. We want to know what God's going to require of us. Read and study the Bible. So, point number two, believe the Bible. Have faith in the Bible. The word faith in this sense means the confidence. Have the trust. Have the reliance upon. That's what faith is. So we believe the Word of God. That it is the Word of God. And we can count on it. We can bank on it because that's what God tells us to do. Therefore, we read in Luke chapter 6, verse 46, this little passage. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? There were people in the days of the first century like that. They said Lord to Jesus, but they didn't do what He said. And there's people like that today. They say they believe in Jesus, and they even call Him Lord, but they don't do what He says. And without the Scripture, without the Bible, we wouldn't know what the Lord says. And there are those today, and there have always been, practically in every generation, that say God speaks to them, and God reveals to them Scripture, and that God reveals to them His will. But if you do that, how am I going to know that what God has revealed to you is genuine? Isn't that subjective? That is, it's subject to your thinking and your interpretation and what you say. We don't rely upon that because we cannot count on, we cannot stake our soul on something somebody else says or they don't say. That's why God doesn't communicate with people like that. He did it one time to one individual, such as Paul when he wrote the books that he wrote, Peter when he wrote the books that he wrote, and John when he wrote the books he wrote, all the inspired men, about 40 different individuals we think of in the Scriptures from start to finish, from Old and New Testament, were used by God to write His holy word. Over a period of about 1,500 years, beginning from the book of Genesis, not the time period in which it's covered, but the time in which God used them to record those things. Over about 1,500 years, we find that the men over that time span, there were educated and uneducated. There were those of all classes and walks of life that God used to record His holy divine words. And what do? Number one, we read and study it. Number two, we believe it. We believe it. Number three, the next point would be that we obey it. It'd be one thing to read and study, and those that is good and essential as it is, and even to believe it, that is good and essential as it is. But if we stop there, it would be of no value whatsoever as far as I'm concerned. Number three, I've got to obey it. I've got to do it. That's why Jesus said, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" We've got to do it. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. When the Lord said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven." And there are those that quibble, and there are those that don't really study like they should, and they come up with a man-made doctrine and say, well, obedience or action, they call it works many times. Works don't have anything to do with salvation. Well, man's works don't, but God's works do. What is the work of God? A beautiful verse in this respect, John chapter 6, verse 29. John 6, 29. If you don't have that circled or underlined or narrow pointed to or colored in some way in your Bible, unless you have perfect memory and can always remember it, you need to do something with that verse. This is the work that God would have us to do. What is that? To believe on Him. Even faith is a work. It is the work God would have me to do. God would have me to believe on Him. And who has to do that? God doesn't do it for me. I do it. If I believe, that's something I do. If you believe, that's something you do. And when you repent, that's a work, something you do. When you confess, that's a work you do. It's not, man didn't dream that up. Man didn't decide that that's going to be worthy before God. It was God's work, the work that He has for us to do. And so when we believe His word, that's working. And when we repent and confess and baptize, that's working. But it's not a work whereby we place God in our debt. It's not a work devised by men wherein we obligate God to extend to us salvation and save us. Because we've earned it, we can't earn salvation. But we still have to obey. Why call me Lord and don't do what I say? The Lord will save those who obey Him. In Hebrews chapter 5, we read in verse 8 and 9, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience. Here he's speaking about Jesus Christ our Savior. Though he were a son, he learned obedience and became the author of salvation unto all them that obey him. Obey means work. It means activity. It means action. It's something to be done. I don't sit back with my hands folded up and just let things happen. I have to be active, involved in it. And that's what the Lord is telling us here throughout the Scriptures. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Coming back to the idea of believing now what we read. And if we don't know what the Bible says, and we don't believe what the Bible says, then we can't obey what the Bible says. But when we learn the truth, that brings about faith. And when we obey what the truth is, that brings about salvation. Because that is the work that God has commanded for us to do. In Hebrews chapter 4, we read in verse 2, "For unto us the gospel was preached, as well unto them." Now the figure in this chapter here, Hebrews 4, he's talking about the children of Israel. When they left Egypt and they went out into the wilderness onward toward the land of flowing with milk and honey, They were looking for a rest from their labors, a time of which they could enter into the promised land and inherit vineyards they'd never planted and houses they'd never built and wells they'd never dug, and they could enjoy the great things that God would give them as a nation. And so here Hebrews 4 is dealing with that, talking about us today. The gospel was preached to us just like it was preached to them. That is the good news from God. And here's what was said. But the word preached to them did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. There's the point. People can hear the word, but if they don't believe it, they don't have confidence in it, it's going to be of no value whatsoever. We are accepted by God when we hear that word, believe that word, but that belief is made confident and sure because of action, because of our response, our obedience to that word. What do we do with the Bible? Number one, we read and study it. Number two, we believe it. And number three, we obey it. We've got to do what God has commanded us to do. James would word it this way in James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. Be ye doers of the word. Doers of the word, and not hearers only. For if any man be a hearer and not a doer, then it's not going to be of any profit to him whatsoever. Just as well, he gives us an example of a man looking at a mirror and the image in the mirror, and we turn from it and we forget what it was that we saw. So we've got to not only be a hearer, we've got to be a doer of the work also. Jesus would say in John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. If we love him, we keep them. If we don't love him, we don't keep them. And therefore, if we don't keep them, that means we don't love him. We may say we love him, but we don't, because we don't keep them. Also, the Lord talks about, if ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. If you want to be a friend of Jesus, that means you're going to believe him. That means you're going to obey him. And if you don't obey him, then you're no friend of Jesus. A lot of people say, well, I'm a friend of Jesus, but they don't do what he says. And they violate that scripture. And in effect, there's may cry that and say that all day long, but they're not a friend of Jesus because they don't obey. One of these days, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning of verse 7, there's coming a day the Lord will have before him all humanity. And as we know, there are two groups, two classes of individuals. There's the saved and those that are not saved. But among those who are not saved, there's basically two classes of them. And that's described in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7 beginning. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel. One are those that do not know God. They've never heard of God. They're going to be lost. Not because they've never heard of God. They're going to be lost because they sinned. Sin's what causes people to be lost. And all of sin. And then there's going to be another class. There are going to be those who have heard of God, but they didn't obey him. They knew, they heard it, but they didn't obey. We're not among either one of those, are we? Certainly not the first class, because we've heard. We know about God. We've heard his will. We might be, some of us, might be among the second category there. We've heard, but we don't obey. Who is it that's going to heaven? Those who obey the will of the Father. Now the question is, have you obeyed? Are you obeying? Are you reading and studying? Do you believe his word? Have you obeyed his word? Well, then we would think also, along with the idea of obeying the word, we might say this, we're living the word. We're living according to the word. I'm afraid far too many people, many times, members of the church, those that have been baptized. They somehow or another see the Bible as something out there at a distance. And they see the church somewhat of a distance. And they're over here, and they live in the world, and they don't really think of themselves as living the Word, being faithful, obedient to the Word, because I'm over here, and the Bible, and the church, and the Lord's over there, but we've got to be a part of the Word of God in the fact that we obey it, and we live it. It is a part of us. Then we live that way every day. Paul would write to the church at Colossae saying this in Colossians 3, in verses 1 and 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the world. And too many times, that's the way Christians do. They've got their affection, their thinking, their life, they're all on things of the world and not on things eternal. Not on things that will last. Not on things above that are heavenly. But he tells Christians we mingle those future things in our present life. So what do we do with the Bible? We believe it, we obey it, we live it every single day. Not just on Sundays, not just at church time, but every day. Our every waking hour, our conduct in life, in regards to every decision we make, is reflected upon our knowledge of the Scriptures, the principles that are stated therein. How do we live? How do we react to situations? What are the decisions we make in life? What's the direction that I'm living? Is it toward heaven or things toward the world? We've got to honor the Bible because the Bible is right. The Bible is God's Word. And we've got to bank on it and rely upon it. Now, we don't worship the Bible. We worship God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But we do revere and respect and honor and count as holy and divine the all-inspired Word of God. Because without it, we wouldn't know about Jesus Christ. We wouldn't know about His death on the cross, the blood that He shed for the forgiveness of our sins. We would not know how to congregate such as we are. We wouldn't know how to worship. We wouldn't know how to pray. We wouldn't know anything that would be acceptable with God if it were not for the Bible. Because the Bible is God's Word and reveals to us all things. A beautiful passage like that found in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. That God has revealed unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. There's nothing I can learn, nothing you can learn that is not already printed right here. There is nothing. It's in the Bible. That's why we spend a lifetime learning it, handling it properly, correctly. There's no contradictions in it. You can't worship one way, somebody else worship another way, and both be right. It's not going to work. We're either both wrong, or perhaps one right, the other one wrong. We can't both be right, because there's only one book. It only says one thing. And if we worship differently, then somebody's missed it. We've got to dig and study, handle correctly, have an open mind. You remember in Acts 16 when Paul went to the riverside there, when he crossed over to the European continent, stepped into the place called Philippi. There was a woman down there at the river, and the Bible said she had an open heart. That's the way we've got to be. We've got to have an open heart, an open mind, an open life to do what God says, regardless of what else happens in the world. Obey God. And if we do that, we'll hear Him say one day, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Are you reading and studying? Do you believe it? Are you obeying? Are you living it every day of your life? If you're not, you can start today by repenting of your sins, confessing faith in Christ, being baptized for the forgiveness of sins. And if you strayed away, you can still have forgiveness. God is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He loves you, wants you to obey. Won't you obey today? Make your calling and election sure. Leave this place with every sin washed away in the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so live faithful all the days of your life. What a blessing that is. But that all come through the knowledge of the Scriptures. Because that's the will of God.